Hello and welcome to a new episode of the Jack Hallows podcast. And today we're going to be talking about glutes. Yep, we're doing it. It's all the rage on social media. It's what gets the best engagement when it comes to social media. So let's do a podcast about it because why the fuck not? No, but seriously, glute training is something that I actually find fascinating. I'm not going to lie. And it's something that I really enjoy diving into. I think it's because a large proportion of my following and client base are female, and it's usually a big priority for them in their training. But also B, I don't know if there's a muscle group that's trained more inaccurately than glutes when it comes to, you know, what you see on social media and what you see in commercial gyms and the ideas that people have about what good glute training is. You know, it just seems to be that so many people want to make a quick buck off glute training, I think because of how popular it is. And then that really kind of fucks everything up for everyone because there's so many shit programs and so much shit advice out there when it comes to glute training. So the first thing we're going to do is we're going to talk through a very easy four-step method that you can use to design your glute workouts. Now, this isn't going to be the most optimal program ever. Believe me, it's not. Like, this isn't like, when we talk about optimal training, this probably isn't right at the peak top or whatever, whatever you want to call optimal training. However, it's going to work pretty damn well. And this is basically a no-thought glute workout that you could do two times a week. And the way that I've programmed it, you could also probably fit a quad exercise in there as well, or even two, or you could fit one quad, one hamstring exercise in there. And then that's going to cover all your bases and it becomes a bit more of like a glute specialized phase of training, if you like. So the first things first is rep ranges. When it comes to hypertrophy, you can build muscle anywhere between 3 and 30 reps. But when we look at kind of a time spent per set, point of view, and B, a recovery point of view, somewhere between kind of the 5 and 12 rep range is probably going to be your best bet. This is going to allow you to pick weights that challenge you, and it's also going to stop cardio being the limiting factor. Like, imagine doing hip thrusts for 30 reps. Chances are the amount of metabolites that you build up in your ass at that point and the kind of cardio aspect of that is really going to give you a bit more of a run for its money than actually really pushing considerable weight, okay? You know, and if you do 30 hip thrusts, like, you're doing better than like 80% of men in a very different context, because 30 is a lot, man. Like, you know, try 30 seconds rather than 30 thrusts, man. So you want 5 to 10 reps, or 5 to 12 reps for your rep range for the most part. No, it's not a rule written in stone. Like, yes, you could do higher. You could do 15 reps. Yes, you could do 4 reps. It's okay. But 5 to 12 for hypertrophy is kind of, all things considered, probably, not definitely, but probably the best range to be working in for really any muscle group if you're trying to grow it and make progress in lifts consistently. Then when it comes to picking your exercises, I would start by picking a bridge slash thrust variation. So this could be a regular hip thrust. It could be a Smith machine hip thrust. It could be a B stance hip thrust. It could be a CAS glute bridge. It could be a glute bridge from the floor, whatever you want. Just pick a glute bridge or thrust variation to do at the start of your workout. Why do it at the start of your workout? Well, it's mostly going to be a shortened position focus exercise, which we kind of want to have at the start of the workout because A, it's not going to incur as much fatigue to as many muscle fibers, meaning that once you sort of fatigue the shortened range, you've still got a little bit to give in the mid and lengthened ranges because you're not really loading those when you do those movements. And also B, I personally think of the barbell hip thrust as being one of the best movements for glute hypertrophy. Whether this is completely accurate or not, anecdotally, I really like it. So I would like to have it first. I also think it's a good exercise to be able to push a lot of weight on. And it's one that's maybe a little bit less risque than, you know, pushing heavy, heavy weight on a squat or on a deadlift or something like that. Secondly, you want to pick a hip hinge variation. So I always lean towards the RDL here. I love both trap bar and barbell variations. You get a little bit of hamstring as well. So while some certain people out there will tell you that an RDL is not a hamstring exercise, Hamstring may not be completely the prime mover when you break it down on a pie chart, but the hamstrings do still work in an RDL. They're just better leveraged in a stiff leg deadlift. The RDL will just be a little bit better for leveraging the glutes. Barbell or trap bar are my favorite here. You can still do dumbbell. You could do a 45 degree hip extension here if you really wanted to. But for me, barbell and trap bar RDLs load the glutes at a longer muscle length than a 45 degree hip extension will do. And if you've been following kind of recent research, it's sort of backed up what we already sort of thought we knew in terms of training muscles at longer muscle lengths may be more beneficial for hypertrophy. Thirdly, I like to pick a single leg exercise, whether it's a single leg press, a supported step up, a reverse lunge, a split squat. I really like single leg work for the glutes. And this is from a point of view of, A, lots of people kind of believe they have glute imbalances, so we can iron that out. And also B, kind of testing the hip stability component of things. You know, the glutes have a lot to do functionally as well as just kind of looking peachy, right? And we want to be able to test some of those functions and train some of those functions as well. So being able to let your glute get good at stabilizing your pelvis, I would say that's a bit of a win as well. And single leg work is going to be the best way to do that. It also ensures that you're not kind of continuing to just really load fucking heavy all the time, because by the time you've done heavy hip thrusts and heavy RDLs in like a 5 to 10 rep range, you're already going to be a little bit fatigued. And then kind of going and trying to maybe leg press really, really heavy weight with bilateral stance, it's possibly going to end up being a little bit of a struggle. But also, these single leg exercises allow you to lengthen the glutes a little bit further than bilateral exercises do. You know, a supported step up, a reverse lunge from a deficit, a single leg press, they all allow you to get into a greater degree of hip flexion than doing these exercises bilateral would do. So that's an extra perk of doing this. Then finally, add in something else that you enjoy. I like things like cable kickbacks for a little bit of extra volume. Reverse hyper machine is really cool here. If you did pick like a reverse lunge or a split squat, yes, you could do like a leg press here. You could do a 45 degree hip extension. If you picked RDL or something before, I actually posted on my Instagram recently a banded 45 degree hip extension variation that I really, really like. So, you know, for me, if I'm picking out of that list, I'm looking and I'm going, okay, I want a barbell hip thrust to start or a Smith machine glute bridge, one of those two. They're my two favorites anecdotally. Then I'm going to do a barbell Romanian deadlift. I fucking love Romanian deadlifts for glute growth, especially with the barbell at the moment. Then I'm going to go into a single leg press. It's really stable, allows me to get a really good degree of hip flexion and really challenge the glute like individually, so right to left, while in a very stable environment. And then I'm going to finish off the workout with that banded back extension. I might even do a little drop set. I might do banded back extensions and then take the band off and continue the set with just the dumbbells that I'm using there. So that's a really easy outline to build a glute workout. We've got four exercises there. We've got some hamstrings from the RDL. So we could potentially also then go, okay, well, I'm going to put in a hack squat in there, quad bias hack squat. I'm going to put that in the B series maybe. And then I've got some glutes, I've got some quads, I've got a little bit of extra quad in that leg press variation as well. While the glutes are going to be biased, the quads are still going to be working. I'm getting hamstrings from my back extension and from my RDL. So I've got a really well-rounded workout here that's then just biased more to training your glutes. And that's really kind of a well-rounded approach to approaching glute programming. It took me 3 years of doing courses and all that sort of stuff to learn this shit. I just gave it to you guys in like 10 minutes, so you're welcome. The second big tip here, and I cannot stress this enough, eat your fucking food. Seriously, so many women, and this isn't me like trying to be offensive or anything, but so many women come to me, eating the same amount of calories that perhaps like a 10-year-old boy would be eating. And it's not enough. It's not enough. You need to eat more calories. No one ever grew a strong pair of glutes with 1,200 calories. Seriously. You know, you need to be eating enough food. You need to, at very least, be eating at maintenance. Yes, you could eat in a small surplus. Absolutely. Even better. But at least be eating at maintenance for an extended period of time to give yourself the best chance to perform better, to progress your lifts, and to have enough calories in your system to grow new muscle tissue. Building muscle is a really difficult process and it takes a lot of time. Trying to do it in a calorie deficit is only going to prolong that, only going to make it harder. And if you are someone who is fairly intermediate to advanced as a lifter, you're going to find it really, really difficult to build calories without being in a decent surplus. To build muscle without being in a decent surplus of calories. So keep that in mind and just make sure that you are eating your food. Eat a good amount of carbs before you train. Eat a good amount of protein post-training. You don't have to go excessive with everything. You don't have to suddenly be eating 4,000 calories a day and calling yourself the Rock. You just need to be eating a little bit more than your maintenance calories. If you don't know how to calculate those, you can sign up for coaching at teamatlas.com.au. Or you can find a calculator online if you really want to. But I would say come and do coaching with myself, but I'm biased, you know. So obviously, we already talked about with your sessions and how to structure them. You definitely want to be training the glutes at the start of the session. You want to make them the priority. Even if that only means doing like one exercise at the start, like the hip thrust, you want to be making sure that that is the priority lift for the session. Then you might go and do the hack squat because you want some energy for that one quad exercise. And then you can go and do your RDL, you know, your leg press, your back extensions after that. Just make sure that the glutes are at the start of the session and train them twice a week. Make sure that you are actually training them with a little bit of frequency. I know I'm experimenting at the moment with a lower frequency approach in my own training, but I still do believe that if you really want to accelerate growth from a place of being a more beginner into intermediate lifter, then training twice a week for a muscle group is going to be a lot more beneficial than trying to just absolutely flog yourself with volume in one session per week. So already talked about the kind of recipe for building a workout, already talked about, you know, eating enough food and where to put your glute exercises. The final thing is stop worrying about all these fucking stupid Instagram influencer terms like booty shelf or underbutt or whatever. Like, you know, some of us use them on Instagram to try and stand out and, you know, get noticed and stuff in a world where influencers do a lot better with engagement than coaches do. But believe me, no coach ever writes a program thinking this is going to be the perfect underbutt program or booty shelf program. Like, for fuck's sake, like, if I ever launch a booty shelf program, I'm gonna have to put like an IKEA sticker on it with like instructions and, you know, how to put up a shelf. That's a terrible joke. But yeah, stop worrying about all that shit and just build your damn glutes. Eat enough food, write some good programs for yourself or if you're a coach for your clients, and just go about growing some damn glutes. Stop worrying about specific divisions of the glute. You know, if you feel like you are lagging behind in a division, just add a little bit more of a, you know, if you're feeling like your glutes are very sort of upper glute dominant, add a little bit more that's going to train the glutes in the stretch position. If you feel like you're lower glutes are a bit more dominant and you don't have the quote-unquote booty shelf, add a little bit more that trains the glutes in the shortened position. That's all. That's all she wrote. That's how we're going to grow some big fucking bakeries in 2023. Let's get it. Speak to you soon.